Welcome to the Proud Psychologist podcast, where we look at all things mental health. Brought to you by me, Carol, an LGBTQ coaching psychologist. Hello everyone, and welcome to the Proud Psychologist. I had planned to do this next episode on goals and what's required of us to achieve the goals we set ourselves. But you know when something just keeps cropping up around you? Well, I've been having that a lot lately, and it's actually a really important conversation topic. So I have pushed the goals podcast episode aside for the time being in order to focus on this today. Don't worry, you will get that episode on goals next month. So the discussion point today is, can people who are on the multi-attraction spectrum ever be in a straight, gay or lesbian relationship? I appreciate that language around relationships, sexuality and gender is baked into our society, and that most people generally want to go through life without hurting others. Discussions like this can elicit strong emotions because they highlight that some of the language we've adopted in order to be inclusive is falling short of that intention, and that can leave us feeling attacked and defensive. It really is my sincerest hope that you will be able to notice when this happens, allow yourself to feel uncomfortable and uncertain, and know that you will be able to take some positives from this episode. This discussion does largely hinge on language, so let's take a minute to make sure the question is as clear as possible. When I use the term multi-attraction spectrum, it's to cover all orientations that are characterised by attraction to more than one gender, or where gender is not deemed to be an important basis for attraction. This includes bisexuality, pansexuality, omnisexuality, polysexuality. You get the idea. It's often shortened to MSpec, so that's what I'll use going forward. And people often refer to a relationship between who they perceive to be a man and a woman as a straight relationship. Equally, they refer to relationships between, again, who they perceive to be, two women as a lesbian relationship, and when it involves people they perceive to be men as a gay relationship. I have more recently come across people labelling relationships as queer if there's two people of the same gender or at least one of them is non-binary. So we're going to be looking at what language is really the most appropriate and accurate when one or more of the people involved are MSpec, and the implications of the differing viewpoints. Finally, those who are attracted to people of one gender only are described as being monosexual. This is inclusive of gay men, lesbian women and heterosexual/straight people. There's a whole conversation we can have on the terms of heterosexual and straight, but let's stay on topic here with whether MSpec people can have gay, lesbian or straight relationships. So I come to this discussion as someone who is very involved in the topic personally and as an observer, because I see it playing out in the lives of the people I work with and others around me. Ever since I knew I was bisexual, I have not described any of my relationships as straight or lesbian. Considering that I knew before I started dating in any serious sense, that means that I've never used either of those terms for my relationships, though other people certainly have. It just never felt right to label myself that way. I was young when I discovered my sexuality, and I did become aware of the wider social and political landscape in which I and others who are also bisexual existed fairly early on. Maybe this also impacted the kind of language that I felt comfortable with, through the awareness of how different life can be socially and politically for MSpec people compared to monosexual people. Interestingly, the MSpec people I see who have described their relationships in terms of gay, lesbian or straight tend to be those who are more familiar with viewing their MSpec identity in terms of what they're doing with whom. The very observable side of sexuality. when we see sexuality through the lens of what I do and who I do it with, we're using behaviour as the defining characteristic. It's a viewpoint very much along the lines of the Kinsey scale, where sexuality was, I believe, first defined as being a spectrum. And finding a person's place on the spectrum was dictated by their sexual experience with men and women over a certain time period. I can see the appeal of this type of categorisation, because there's some security in it. For the straight majority, they get to stay safe in the knowledge that their lives and worldview can remain intact. For the gay men and lesbian women, there's validation of their experiences too. M-spec people, however, are barely acknowledged to exist in their own right. The Kinsey scale doesn't actually name any orientation other than homosexual and heterosexual. The middle part, also the largest part, only names how much someone is either homosexual or heterosexual. Words like predominantly, incidentally, and equally occupy the middle part of the scale, and at no point is a third sexual orientation named. This is probably for the ease of the researchers, because they were ascribing people to a place on the scale based on behaviour, rather than allowing self-identification. And I think it would have been far more problematic at the time, which was the late 1940s, to create a new label and then tell people they are this new label. However, the implication of this type of approach of thinking about and labelling sexual orientation based on observable behaviour in 2024 is not helpful for anyone. Least of all because we have differences between, for example, bisexuality, pansexuality, omnisexuality, and polysexuality. When we lean on what can be observed as the way to discern gay and lesbian from straight, we are dismissing any alternative from those three. All M-spec identities and orientations are immediately erased from the social consciousness when we do this. This kind of erasure is insidious in our monosexual society. An example being when having legal marriage equality is seen as having legal gay marriage. The focus is on gays and lesbians being able to marry, and not as also obtaining the legal ability for M-spec people to marry each other regardless of their gender. Further, we don't hear people saying, oh yes, so-and-so is in a bisexual relationship with this person, because that's not what our monosexual society tells us what monogamous relationships are. Our society, with its monosexual lens, denies the existence and validity of M-spec relationships because it's not immediately observable that either or both of the people involved are M-spec. Even when M-spec people have multiple relationships at the same point in their life, their relationships will be framed by some as straight, gay, or lesbian, depending on the genders or perceived genders of those involved. When an M-spec person is saying to me, I'm in a straight relationship with this person and a gay or lesbian relationship with that one, it's clear that they have internalised the way our monosexual dominant society views relationships. They may be okay with it themselves, likely with no awareness of how it harms others when such labels are applied to them. Or they may be suffering because of it. When I can see that someone is torn up inside over the incongruence between their identity and the label they have assigned to their relationship, or that someone else has assigned to their relationship, I can't help but feel that pain too. Such erasure of M-spec identities is harmful because it's part of the systemic denigration of M-spec orientations that, by their nature, run counter to our very monosexual society. When people are hurting, confused, and suffering from having their relationship seen by themselves and or by others as gay, lesbian or straight when they are actually M-spec. It's a real deep hurt. Assigning descriptor labels such as gay, lesbian and straight to other people's relationships without obtaining their point of view on it first is damaging, because that's how we end up in this mess of M-spec people's identities being dismissed, erased and then the subsequent hurt. The M-spec people can't always say why it hurts. But self-awareness is a matter of degrees, and sometimes discerning why is just a little bit out of reach for them at the time. Others can very clearly understand what is hurting and why. The dismissal of a part of who they are and the mislabeling of them and their relationships as gay, lesbian or straight is not trivial. We have to fight to be seen. We have to fight to have our identities taken seriously. And this is in ways other than invalidating language applied by others to our relationships. So when this invalidating language does happen, it is yet another fight to be seen and taken seriously. Some people don't have the spoons to challenge invalidating language like gay, lesbian or straight relationship every time it comes up. And others can struggle to process their feelings quickly enough so that they can challenge it in the moment. And all of that is valid. I personally do challenge it when it happens because it costs me less to do that than if I leave it unchallenged. If I'm leaving it unchallenged, I will be sat with that for the rest of the day, for the day after, maybe even a week. It really does cost me less to just say something in the moment and draw a line under it. When I was having this kind of discussion recently, it became evident that part of what stings about these assumptions is that they also assign gender, depending on whether a person is perceived to be a man or a woman. Now, I am agender, but I am not androgynous, and people do read me as a woman, which plays a huge role in whether someone is labelling my relationships as gay, lesbian or straight. So there's erasure of two aspects of my identity going on when such labels are applied to any relationships I'm in. This has implications far beyond me, though. Many M-spec, non-binary or trans people who get misgendered will likely have experienced exactly the same dismissal and erasure of multiple aspects of their identity as well. The harm caused may be unintentional, but it is real. One response I heard recently when discussing this topic is, why does it need saying? Why can't people just say relationship? And I completely agree. The person sharing this perspective experiences hurt feelings from having relationships mislabeled as lesbian or straight, but rarely is able to challenge such mislabeling in the moment. She wants to be able to say something when it happens, and was earnest in it not being necessary to add those qualifiers or descriptors to the label of relationship. I understand that some people, typically monosexuals, feel such qualifiers or descriptors are helpful and validating, either in casual conversation or in campaigning for things like equal marriage rights. And I get that. I really do get that. If you've been up against a struggle to be seen, validated, accepted, welcomed as a gay man or a lesbian woman, then I can see the validation in having people describe your relationship as a lesbian relationship or a gay relationship. The impact on M-spec people having these qualifiers or descriptors applied to their relationships, though, is huge. Whether someone is putting in a lot of energy into ensuring that they only enter into relationships which are less likely to be mislabeled in a way that is too painful for them, or whether they are loudly correcting each mislabeling and the associated erasure of their identity, or whether they are stunned into silence each time their relationships are mislabeled. It doesn't matter. There is harm being done in each scenario. The language being used is inflicting that harm, and it is trivial to just refer to all relationships as relationships. If there is a legitimate need, like both people want their sexuality explicitly acknowledged and honoured when describing the relationship, there are alternatives, like mixed orientation relationship, queer relationship. Ultimately, what a relationship is referred to as should, outside of the simple acknowledgement of the relationship, only be defined and set by the people in it. So, if two gay men absolutely can ask for people to use the qualifier or descriptor of gay relationship, just like two lesbian women can ask for the same, you know, for their relationship to be acknowledged as a lesbian relationship. But it shouldn't be the default that we all revert to. We can be more deliberate and inclusive with our language to the benefit of many people without actually expending much effort. If you only take one thing away from this episode, I really hope it is this. Referring to another person's relationship simply as a relationship is going to validate and be welcomed by them regardless of how they identify. We can drop the need to add descriptors like gay, lesbian, or straight to the simple label of relationship with ease to be more inclusive of ourselves as well as others. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to you joining me for the next episode on goals.